ladies and gentlemen, Thomas Brooks said, a family without prayer is like a house without a roof. Open and exposed to all the storms of heaven. Join me in praying an old ancient prayer called the Common Prayer. And I did this with my family. All of these things that we do, oftentimes we did them in the same devotional. I have broken it down for you and for people who struggle to pray. These prayers, if you will, are like training wheel prayers. They will lead you into more personal, heartfelt prayers. However, if you engage your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, God will, and if you're sincere, He will hear and answer this prayer if you mean it from your heart. No, we're not Anglican. I am still an old-fashioned Baptist preacher, but I like some of the things our other ancient Christian brethren have done. And I use it. And I put my heart into it. And I am sincere about it. And I believe that God will answer any prayer if your heart is right. The Common Prayer. Join me. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have sinned and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. Light in the back. We have followed too much the devices. How fitting today. There are people who follow the devices, the man-made devices such as iPhones, Samsung phones, Kindles, iPads, wrist watch devices. I saw a young lady, like so many I see, walking down the street. She didn't see the people. She was ignoring her family who was with her, buried, her head buried in a device. So many have been killed. Do you hear me? So many have been killed. Yes, I'm using this ancient word that they put in this prayer, devices. I know what it means, but I'm using it for this purpose. Many young people have been killed, have walked out into the street and been hit by a car, have killed other people by being on that device, they are so attached to it, they can't bring up their head from what somebody has said on a device. And we have followed our devices, and that is all of the, we have followed too much the devices, literally in our day, but also the devices and wicked desires of our own hearts. Our sins, our evil. We have offended against thy holy laws. In other words, we have broken your laws, God, and we know we have. we have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no peace and joy in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou us, O God, who confess our sins, our faults, and our failures. Restore those of us who confess our sins and repent according to thy promises declared unto us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Let's go again to the family verses, Ephesians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6. We are still in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Dr. Guzik, whose commentary we are using to shed more light and to gain more understanding, has a lot to say about this passage, and we're going to stay with it until he's finished, and until, more importantly, God is finished. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, let me say very clearly, in light of all of the sexual harassment, all of the nastiness that men are doing to women today, all of the domestic violence, all of the little football players who are beating the hell out of their wives, all of the men who are doing what Rob Portman, I believe his name is, highly educated, no doubt women would count him to be a great catch. Supposedly coming from a great family. In light of all of that, let me say to you ladies what I have said to my daughters. Number one, in most cases today, you have men who are not going to see you the way that you want them to see you. And if you can maintain yourself, and if you can avoid fornication, and you don't have a real desire for that kind of thing, or so-called romance, you would be better off not marrying at all today. Because the young men today are not like your grandfather or And they're not going to care for you the way that you want them to, in many cases. And we thank God for those few who do, who are men, but yet they never haul off and ball up their fist and beat their wives. And let me say something else to you, so I want you to understand, in light of what's happening today, when we're talking about a wife submitting to her husband, we're not talking about that. And regarding this situation, you need to know this. If a man ever beats you, balls his fists up and beats you like a man, you know, you need to know two things. One, he does not love you. And two, and I think even worse than that, he does not respect you. He does not care for you. And you need to free yourself from that situation. But you need to be serious about it. When you leave, you need to stay gone. You don't need to have any more contact with him, because this is what many women do. And they, just like the one of the wives of this man, she was not beaten as badly as the first wife. She still calls him Rob and still thinks he's a nice guy and charming and this, that, and other. And so they still have this little mindset that they can fix him. If a man has graduated from Harvard and Oxford, and he goes into a rage and puts his fist through a door window to get at you or to scare you, or he lays you down on a floor or on a bed and beats you in your face to give you a black eye, then you don't need to be bothered with that man forever. Just get out of the relationship. Stop hoping that he's going to change, and in the words of my dad, get your hat. So when we read the Bible, because this is the first thing that some women will say, see, that's why I'm not going. I can't submit to my husband. I'm not going to let him. Okay, well, if you don't do it God's way, it's not going to work anyway. And you need to make sure. And by the way, when you leave him alone. If you feel you need to call the police and get them involved, then you do that. But leave him alone. Beyond that, and that way you'll get him out of your life permanently, because if he's a monster like that, you don't want to be with him. And you can go on, and as some sisters have said, do better by yourself, and don't be trying to contact him. Don't be trying to go over there and try to have sex with him again after things have died down. Don't use the children to try to connect with him and all that kind of thing. It'd be better for you to just leave the state if he's not going to leave. Okay, so we're not talking about domestic abuse. We're not talking about violence of any kind. When we talk about women submitting themselves to their husbands, you don't have to live in a situation like that. Just go and stay gone. And at the same time, make sure that you're not guilty yourself. How many women, after things have cooled down, have admitted, well, I provoked him? Still makes there's no excuse for him beating you with his fists and all this kind of mess going on. But make sure you are innocent. Make sure you are doing what God has told you to do. And I do believe that because we're not talking about walking on eggshells. We're talking about walking obediently to God, regardless of what this man does. But if you got an explosive devil on your hands, that anything can set him off at any given time, and he hauls off and knocks you out and gives you a black eye, then you're in a dangerous situation. So with that said, my beloved, if that's going on and you've done all that you can do, my advice to you, there's a number that you can call and they will help you get out of that situation. It's in my book, Letters to Young Black Women. I have a whole chapter on domestic violence. Read that chapter and call that number and get yourself gone and leave him be. And when you leave, make sure you're leaving for good. Don't go out there lying on the man and then have all of these people to help you and put them through all of this trouble to help you and to move you and so forth. And you've lied on the man, and you intentionally did some things to push his buttons, and then a few months later, you want to go back to him. These people feel betrayed when you do that. So make sure it's real. Make sure you mean business, and that is no contact ever again. Don't be tomorrow. I'm going to meet him in the park and take the children to him. And I'd rather go by myself, mommy. I'd rather go by myself. No. You're playing games. Be serious if you want to make that accusation. Make sure you're serious about it, and make sure you have made up your mind that you're going to be gone and gone for good. Don't be trying to sneak and see them. Don't be trying to connect with them on Facebook, sending little messages and all of that. Stop calling him Rob, like he's still your husband. Once you get out, stay out. Don't even let him know where you live at. Move as far away as you can. And don't go home to mommy and daddy. Go someplace else, because he's going to make a visit, and now you're involving the whole family and endangering the whole family. Whole families have been killed by violent men like this. So with that said, let's get back to the Bible. David Guzik writes in his Enduring Word commentary on the Bible regarding this short passage. Paul says that the wife should be subject to her husband in everything. Does he really mean everything? This needs to be understood in the same way we understand submission in other spheres, in other areas, in other arenas. For example, when Paul says in Romans 13 that the Christian must submit to the state, we understand that there are exceptions. So what are the exceptions to everything? One exception is when the husband asks or expects the wife to sin. She is free from her obligation to submit. And by the way, all Christians are free from the obligation to submit to any authority if they are expecting you to sin and to do evil. This applies in a place of clearly biblical sin, such as signing a fraudulent tax return that your husband has lied about right in front of your face, and you know he's lying, and you sign it, you're just as guilty. If that means he's going to get angry, that means separation, so be it. But you got to stand for God and for right. It also applies in matters of true Christian conscience. But we must be very careful to distinguish between true Christian conscience and mere opinion. Yet the wife does not have to submit to a request to commit sin. You run out of food and your husband says, go in that grocery store and steal us some beans and rice and a steak and put it in your purse. And don't forget the steak sauce. You're not obligated to do that. Nor are children obligated to do such evil. You would be better off starving than to steal food or to steal anything. So remember that. There are some things you don't have to obey. There are some things you don't have to submit to. Anything that violates the law of God, you must say no. In fact, you had better say no. In fact, the man will respect you more if you say no. I am not going to do that evil against God. If he says, you know, I have an interest, you know, we've been married for 13 years and I have an interest in, you know, exploring this thing called swingers, you know, where I get involved with another man's wife and I let you get involved with another man, another woman's husband and other such ungodliness. You do not have to submit to that. You say an emphatic no. That won't be happening. Not with me. Come on now, let's have a little fun. You know everything is stale around here. Let's liven it up a little bit. No, not without me. I don't care how stale it is. I'm not doing that. I fear God too much to do stuff like that. And it doesn't matter how he reacts. I assure you, that man will have even more respect for you if he knows that there's some things you are just not going to do. He'll brag on you in sorts, in interesting ways. He might be sitting at TGIFs, TGIs, or whatever it is. Thank God it's Friday at his restaurant, eating one of those big hamburgers with his buddies. Yeah, man, I talked to my wife about that little fantasy I had, and man, she slapped that down real quick, man. My wife is, man, she's a Christian, man. She's not gonna do no mess like that. Just because your wife can do that, my wife is not gonna do that. I can't participate, man. And he'll say that, believe it or not, in a proud way, that my wife is better than that. You always want your husband to be able to say that about you. Nah, man, I'm not even going to approach her with that, because I can tell you right now what she's going to say. She's not going to do that. That woman fears God, man. I catch that woman praying early in the morning. Early in the morning. Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you, and Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word. And we thank you for all of the wives who obey this passage, and they have been blessed. And we pray for all other Christian wives in Christian marriages, or marriages that are not necessarily Christian, to obey your holy word. Help them to have faith in you, and to submit to their husbands, and to do it with the right heart, spirit, and attitude, to do it willingly. And we pray that you'll bless them for doing that. Heal every marriage, heal every Christian marriage, save those who are lost in marriages where Christ is not the center. Rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts, Lord, from every marriage. And surround us with your protection, a band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. Place, Lord, upon us all the whole arm of God. And help all of us, husbands and wives and children, to do it your way, with the right heart, the right spirit, and the right attitude. And Lord, bless every family that does that in a very powerful way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in reading our devotional Bible passage, Psalm 107, verses 33-38. He turneth the rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. And sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Now, beloved, regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry writes, "What surprising changes are often made in the affairs of men. Let the present desolate state of Judea and of other countries. Explain this. If we look abroad in the world, we see many greatly increase whose beginning was small. We see many who have suddenly risen as suddenly brought to nothing. Worldly wealth is uncertain. Often those who are filled with it, before they are aware, lose it again. God has many ways of making men poor and humble. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word. Hide it in our hearts and have it to break us, make us, and mold us into what you want us to be. And Lord, help us to meditate on it. And Lord, bless it to do its work inside of us. And give us ideas and thoughts that motivate us to be obedient and to help others trust you as Savior and to be obedient as well. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in praying for the estates. You know what the estates are now, so let's get right to it. Join me in doing the hard work of praying for others, but rewarding work. Holy Father God, we pray for the church. We pray for church servant leadership. We pray for all evangelists. We pray for all pastors. We pray for all teachers, church servant leaders, denominational servant leaders, Bible teachers, missionaries, and ministry workers. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would use them to lead the flock right. And to make good decisions. Give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and insight. Holy Father God, we pray for all governmental leaders, the president and his administration, as we have prayed for every president since Ronald Reagan after I got saved. We pray based upon your holy word. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray for President Donald Trump and his administration. We pray for his family. We pray for Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence, all White House staff, including Deputy National Security Advisor KT McFarland, all leaders of federal agencies, including United States Postal Inspection Service Chief Postal Inspector Guy Cottrell, all state governors, including Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker, all city mayors, including Bakersfield, California Mayor Karen Goh, all members of Congress, including North Carolina Senator Richard Burr, all law enforcement officials, including Wichita, Kansas Police Chief Gordon Ramsey, all military leaders, including Admiral William F. Moran, Vice Chief of Naval Operations, leaders of nations around the world. Dominica's President Charles Severin and Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the people and for the citizens of this country and other countries. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, provision, blessings upon them. And we pray that you would give them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight. For they're the real power in a democracy. But you're the real power, the final authority in every form of government. And we pray that you would bless the people. And more importantly, we pray that, Lord, you would save the people. Have your Holy Spirit not to give them rest until they come to know your Savior. And then, Holy Father God, we pray for the media, the traditional media and the new media. Save those who are lost in media. Revive those who are saved. And help them to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and not to make the news about them, and not to make up fake and phony news. And Holy Father God, we pray for and regarding current events around the world, which you already know about. We are not here to inform you. We're just here to obey you and to pray to you, therefore. We pray for the recovery of the hundreds wounded in Taiwan earthquake, for grace, strength, and comfort for the survivors to get through this difficult time and to somehow correct those buildings that have toppled over. We pray for the comfort of the families of the two people killed in a train collision this week in South Carolina. We pray for the recovery of the over 100 people who were injured. We pray for an end to the fighting in Syria, for the protection of civilians, and for the recovery of the devastated country. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we commit these souls into your hands. And Lord, we pray now for the prayer requests that have come in. We pray for the hundreds of prayer requests that have come in. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings upon them. Hear and answer their prayers, and hear and answer our prayers for them. And we pray for some by name. We pray for Getahune. Please deliver him from all personal problems and have him to receive the money due him. We pray for David. Please bless the Christian motion picture he wants to make. Have it to witness to many people. We pray for Victor. Please save his girlfriend or father and her siblings. Give her strength to forgive them. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for those who have trusted you as Savior. We pray for George. We pray for Mahesh. We pray for Millward. Help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for those who have recommitted their lives to Christ through this ministry. We pray for Francis. We pray for Harry. And we pray for Charlene. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in our lives. In Jesus Christ, the holy name, we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading for today is titled Saved from Sin by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Saved from Sin. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says, He shall save his people from their sins. Many persons, if they are asked what they understand about salvation, will reply, being saved from hell and taken to heaven. This is one result of salvation, and indeed a major one. But it is not one-tenth of what is contained in it. It is true that our Lord Jesus Christ does redeem all his people from the wrath to come, which is eternal hell, through his precious blood and his death on the cross, his burial and resurrection. But his triumph is far more complete than this. He saves his people from their sins. He saves his people from their sins. Oh, sweet deliverance from our worst foes, where Christ works a saving work. He casts Satan from his throne and will not let him be master any longer. No man is a true Christian if sin reigns in his mortal body. Sin will be in us. It will never be utterly expelled till the Spirit enters glory, but it will never have dominion over us. Can somebody say amen? There will be a striving for dominion, but sin will never get the upper hand so as to be absolute monarch of our nature. Christ will be master of the heart, and sin must be mortified. The lion of the tribe of Judah shall prevail, and the dragon shall be cast out. Can somebody say amen? Beloved, if your life is unholy, your heart is unchanged, and if your heart is unchanged, you are an unsaved person. If the Savior has not sanctified you, renewed you, given you a hatred of sin, not only of other people's sin, by the way, but your own sin, amen, somebody, and a love of holiness, he has done nothing in you of a saving character. Christ saves his people, not in their sins, but from their sins, and yes, from the consequence of sin, which is hell. And by the way, my beloved, that leads us to our final section. But before I share that with you, let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us as Christians to understand that if we're truly saved, we are saved from the power of sin and the punishment of sin. Sin should not be reigning and controlling and serving as a king in our hearts. Jesus Christ should be the king of our hearts. So, Lord, have mercy and grace upon us. Forgive us of our sins. Help us to truly hate sin and turn away from it. if we're truly born again and truly saved. That should be the case. And we pray that you would help us to love you back because you first loved us, and to love the holiness that you represent. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, my beloved, this particular devotional leads us to this most important section, and that is, if you were to die today, where would you go, heaven or hell? If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will go to hell when you die. You will continue in your sins, and you will go to hell. So allow me to show you how you can put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be saved from sin and hell, from sin and from the consequences of sin, the punishment of sin forever, which is hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner, that you are a sinner by choice and by nature, and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, that's bad news, but I have some good news for you, dear friend. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart right now. You have this keen interest in getting saved and knowing Christ. Go ahead and do it today. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved." Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And pray and ask him to save you. For the Bible is very clear in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend of mine, if you would believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save you, he will save you. I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner by nature and by choice. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me and forgive me of my sins. My failures and my faults. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil ways and to change and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you real good on this Friday, a Friday that we shall never see again, and a Friday we have never seen before. So let's live in it for the glory of God.
Cause he gave the guarantee that he'll return to take us home and fulfill the prophecy. Just like you said you.